that they follow is the year 5783, and we just stepped into the year 5784 on the Hebraic calendar. Okay, why that's important, and I'm going to pass one of these out, because you have to kind of follow the Hebrew alphabet, the Hebrew language, to really understand gematria. Because what gematria is Hebrew is the most sophisticated language there is. It really is. And so this because there's three different ways that you can do the language. There's three different aspects of it. It goes by a letter, A.
No vowels.
That's right. There are no vowels. That's all right. That's right. So it gives you an A, right? But then it gives every letter a number associated to that letter. So A would be 1. Whoops, that's a 7. 1, okay? And then also it assigns a picture to that. So it's three different things that they assimilate to A1, and that's the Hebrew for 1, okay? And that's what I'm showing you, the Aleph.
Is that normal? That's everything?
That's for Hebrew, yes. Yes, so when they see... So it's so cool because a lot of times, especially in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament was written in Greek. And that's why you'll hear a lot of people say the original Greek or the original Hebrew. And if you even look up your concordance, if you're looking in the concordance and if it's an Old Testament, it'll have an H by it. And then in the New Testament, it'll have a G by it. It's telling you the original Greek, the original language that it was interpreted from. And that's very, very important for us, even nowadays, because there's so, even I do it. I mean, I'm using a Passion translation today because I just love how Passion interprets some of these things, because it really puts it into our language in a really intimate, passionate way with the Lord. But there's so many different versions out there that you can start to get away from the original Greek text, because man starts to put their own interpretation on the scripture, and then things start to get added that weren't intentionally supposed to be added, and we can get skewed. So it's good that when we study the scriptures, that we go back to the original Greek and the original Hebrew to say, what are they talking about here? What is this word mean? Because there's so many different words that mean so many, just like even the English language, there, and there, pair and pair. And, you know, there's all these different meanings. And if we're using the wrong context, then we can get skewed in the discerning of the scriptures. That's why the Bible says that we are to rightly divide scripture. We're to rightly divide the words in the scripture and how it was intended in context. So then, even back then, they understood, they were very familiar with times and seasons and years, and it meant something to them. So if somebody went to them and told them a year and a number and a month that they were doing it, they knew enough to immediately understand that they would run through that filter of their language and say, okay, that means that we're entering into that month, which has a numerical value of 8, which means mouth, right? And they put it to the pay, and that's and they understand it was a different way of thinking. But that's just how they thought. Today, our language is so different now because technology has gotten so smart that we just let technology do everything for us, and we're actually getting more unintelligent. Right? Remember before when you wanted to know something, you had to go to the library and get an encyclopedia and really look it up? Remember those days? You're like, oh, we're going to the library. It's not like that anymore because of this bad boy. That's exactly right, and it has taken all the digging and the learning away from it because it's right in our hands now, and that's almost a bad thing. The information is good, but how we go about it, it's almost a bad thing. But then they understood this, okay? And then so today, as we go into 5784, the new year, and as we go into 2024, I just kind of want to pass these out so you can kind of see what I'm talking about. And so each one... And it only goes up to, the Hebrew language only goes up to 400, but it doesn't even go 101. It goes up to, by tens, 10, 20, up to 90, 100, then 200, 300, and then 400, and that's where it ends, right there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And this is called gematria. So now, this is everything, oh, thank you, Matt. This is everything in our language, in the English language. So like Angie's name. Angie's name has a numerical value. There's a numerical value to her name when you run it through the gematria. And that's what gematria is. It's putting a numerical value to an English word, to an English word or a written word. Okay? Like the name Jesus has a numerical value of 888. Right? New beginnings. And 8 means new beginnings. And every number has a meaning, right? And every number has a meaning, and that's why it's important. So when we look at 5784, not only is it a new year we're stepping into, but what does 5784 mean to the Lord? Because those numbers mean something, right? The name Christ has a numerical value of 555, which is triple grace. That's a good question.
Do you know what Mary is?
Tell me, what did Mary, the number? Her number? No, I didn't. I didn't know that. I don't know. No, I've never done Mary. I've never done them.
Each letter, like you said, has mm-hmm. a number.
Correct. Correct.
And then each number has another deal under it.
Has a picture. Yes, that's right. That's right. But we could look up Mary, though. We could figure it out. Because every single word, go ahead.
There's something about it that's so sacred.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'll be 90 in April. People had said, your name is Mary?
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you know, the first time they ever heard it. And I'm saying, boy, that makes me special. But not really.
That's awesome.
It's because I belong to Jesus.
That's right. Let me...
But anyway,
I'm going to see if we can find it.
I broke in.
The value of Mary, the gematria for Mary is 511.
511.
And if you add that up, you get 7, which is perfection. And 7 is a perfect number.
And it's beautiful.
It is. It is. And when the deeper you go in these things, the deeper and the more God will speak to you through these. And that's why it's so important that we understand what we're doing and understand that this language, and we got to run it through that filter if we really even want to really study the Bible the way it was intended to be studied. So it's just on us to do that. And this is just fun that we're doing today. So since we are in the new year, 5784, I wanted to kind of tell you what that means. And let's look at this new year and what kind of God is telling us. And that's why we do this fast before the new year, because we're asking God, we're humbling ourselves before the Lord to submit ourselves to say, Lord, what does this year mean for you?
Would you mind putting that word up on the...
Yeah, what word?
I can see it.
Oh, gematria.
Yeah.
Gematria. Okay, so we have to say, Lord, what does this year mean? What does it mean for me as an individual? What does it mean for me and my family? What does it mean for my family here at IHP? What does it mean for our community here? Does it mean different things? What does it mean nationally and globally? What are we stepping into globally? Because there are different things that he has for this year globally as opposed to what Angie and Brian are stepping into this year, because he has an assignment for them for this new year, which is personal to them, but it has to do with what he's doing globally. Does that make sense? So it's very important that we seek the Lord in this manner in what we're doing and fasting and praying for this new year to say, what does this mean? So we're just going to look at the numbers today and just kind of speak to what do the numbers mean? 5784, what does that mean? Okay, and like the Hebraic calendar, they go in decades like us, okay? So we're in the decade of the 20s, right? 2020s, okay? But they're in the decade of the 80s, okay? 5784. And the number 80, if you look on your sheet, does it even go up to? Yeah, 80. It's the decade of the pay, which is the mouth. Which is really cool, because when 2020 hit, nobody really had an idea of, I guess a few people out there, prophets and that, understood that maybe we were getting this pandemic. They didn't really understand it to the level that it really did, but they understood something was coming. But if you understood that 2020, right, coming into the year 20, or if you put it to the 80s, that 80s, you're stepping into a decade of the mouth. And if you understood that the mouth we use to speak, and that's the mouth is how we spread the gospel, and the mouth is how we use our testimony, and then you see 5780 when it stepped into the month of the 80, that what do? They immediately tried to cover up your mouth. They tried to put a mask on your mouth and say, shut them down. And who did they go after? The Christians. The evangelical Christians. Anybody that had a church. They wanted to cover your mouth. But 5780, God was saying, you better use your mouth. Do not let them cover your mouth. This is the month, this is the decade of the pay of the mouth. And you better use it. And don't fall to a worldly system that tells you to cover it. And we saw all how that went down, right? So that's kind of why we look at this. So we're still in the decade of the pay of the mouth, but then we get into 4. And 3, we're coming out of 3, which is really cool because 3 kind of zeroed in on the fear of the Lord. That was the year that we were supposed to really press in to the fear of the Lord. And that's really kind of in this convergence of 83 and 84 and 23 and 24, what have we been looking at? The fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord, that phrase, the fear of the Lord, is in the Bible exactly 23 times. And we're coming out of the year that was focused on the fear of the Lord. There's so much. This, I don't even have my Bible out. There is so much in this that we haven't. Yes, Lydia.
Are you
going to
have a class of this? This is so fast. I am way back here.
We haven't even got started yet, but. So what this is, and all we're trying to do, and literally, we're just scratching the surface, Lydia. We're literally scratching the surface. And all I'm trying to make the correlation between that the numbers of the years that we follow, that we are to follow his calendar to see how he's speaking to us. And that's really all it is. Because his numbers have a meaning, like that sheet that you have. There's a meaning, and he's speaking to you through number. God speaks through anything he wants to use. Go ahead, Leon.
Okay, I've been listening to a Jewish man.
Uh-huh.
The same time that Trump has got to go to court, mm-hmm. is the same timeline and everything that Haman was hung.
Wow. That's same crazy. Wow. That's just crazy.
It is.
And see what he's talking about. Haman is Esther. And what did Esther do? What was so significant about Esther? She saved an entire nation of people. And she did. She fasted 3 days. She told him, I'm going to fast, and we're going to come. And what did Haman represent? How funny. I was actually thinking about doing a class today on Haman and Korah. Remember we kind of talked about it a little bit? And those who rise themselves up to try to exalt themselves instead of letting God exalt them up. And that's what Haman did. Haman tried to get in there and get the king's leverage to say, these people are bad news and we need to take care of them and really get the king manipulated, right, to get the king there. And then that's when they said, no, we have to take over. And Esther, you're going to have to do some things that is not comfortable for you to do. And you know who did you see that does that? Jonathan Kahn? Yeah, Jonathan Kahn's the most awesome. And if you listen to Jonathan Kahn, you already know exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this. Because Jonathan Kahn is the quintessential understanding of how timelines work from the scripture according to what we're going through right now. And so,
what started the Hebrew 50, whatever the number is? What started their calendar? Have any
creation? I have no. Yeah, I would imagine.
Google it is the creation of the world.
But remember, after the flood, he started. Now this is going to be
the
seventh month. So that's when it started over.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, 37.
Really? How weird. So I didn't even know that. But then the calendar started over at the death of Christ.
Right.
Right? And they started tracking it differently, and that's when they started using a different calendar other than the Hebrew calendar. It wasn't the Hebrew calendar. You know, it was just the calendar that God used to track. And listen, that's why you know this thing is so, this is real. You ever go in the Old Testament and read Scripture, and they'll tell you, the seventh month, on the fifth day at noon, I was at the bank of the river, and an angel, it's too intricate. It's too intricate, because you, how would you possibly know? And that's why God leaves a record like that.
So it's the Passover, excuse me, I messed that up. It's the Passover when he started over. When he freed the slaves, that's when.
Yes,
that's when
yes. Oh, I see what you're talking about. That's what he was implementing was the law. Right. Yeah, that's when they started. Because what she's talking about is, before there was no real law, so there was no real gauge, and people were doing whatever they wanted to do. God had hoped that they would just listen to their heart and just do right and make the choice to do right. But when they thought, are you kidding me? We can sin and there's no real standard? Because there wasn't a standard. So God said, okay, I'm going to implement a standard. And then that's when he put Passover, because that's when he handed Moses, this is the new standard now. You have to have a standard. And that's what Moses actually was. He was the lawgiver. He was the one that gave the law and the standard. But, and I was saying something for
now. The Lord is coming back and pouring out his spirit because we're in the same boat as they were. We
yes.
Got lawlessness going everywhere.
Well, 100%. I'm talking about that a little bit in the message today. And because it's hard for us as humans to really get away from law, and that's really what religion has taught us. Because religion says, and that's why the gospel was a stumbling block to the Jews. He said the gospel is a stumbling block to you, because if you can't gauge it and put something that you can measure it by, and the gospel is not a measuring stick, it's a no, you just receive it through belief. And they're like, that's too easy. Our mind doesn't grab, we have to be able to measure it, so I can stand on the street corner in all my garb and I can be the standard that they look to aspire to, and I get to tell them, you're missing the mark. You need to try harder. And maybe one day you'll get where I'm at. But right now, I'm this, and it's just garbage. And God is saying no. And that's why he said it's a stumbling block to the Jews, because the Jews looked at the gospel and said, if we can't measure it through our own effort, then that's not right. We need to learn to measure it according to our efforts, because if we don't do it by effort, then how do we know they're even trying? God says, you can't do it anyway. You could never do it.
Religion has it where we have to work real hard. Get into
that's right. That's right. What do we say? What is religion's greatest message?
Yeah,
try harder.
Sweetest time
try harder.
Is when Jesus comes to you and he's saying, I am pleased with you.
And that's what he does all the time. That's the only message he has. Yes. We twist the message in our head. We think, you know, even in 1 John 3, it says, if your hearts don't condemn you, then when you go to the Lord, anything you ask. See that preface? If your heart doesn't condemn, but if your heart condemns you, if you think you're not worthy, if you think you're not good enough, if you feel condemned and all this stuff, then he's going to say, you're already off, and I'm not going to give you because your thinking's already off. See what I'm saying? If you can get the entire evangelical Christians to believe that one thing, we'd be in good shape. We'd be in good shape. But we're so far off. Okay, so this is what gematria is. Okay? It's just putting a numerical value to an English name, the English language, the alphabet, right? To really see what is being said. So when we look at 5784, 80 is the pay, right? That's when they were telling us to cover up our mouth. We're coming out of 2023, which was based on the fear of the Lord, really figuring out the fear of the Lord. And we're coming into four. So four, what is four on your sheet? What does that say four is? It's a Dalet. The Dalet. And four, the Dalet, represents a door. A door. Okay? Pay represents the mouth. Four, Dalet, represents a door. Okay? And so, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
It's
going to
be a test, too.
Yeah, Brian said there's going to be a test at the end, too. She wants to sit next to you, Brian. She's going to copy. Okay, it's an open door. That's what the Dalit means. It's an open door. So then, knowing that we're going into the year of the open door, so now we know, Lydia, if four means open door, then we go into the scripture and we start looking up door scriptures. We start looking up scriptures with a four in front of them. And then he starts to speak through us, through the scriptures, about what this year represents compared to the scripturally what he's... Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's what we'll do.
Okay, there you go. With Jacob, when he seen the ladder, what was those angels doing? They were going
ascending
up
and descending. That's right. That's right. They were ascending and descending. And see, that's when you take that, when you see that, when that comes into your head, then you go to the scriptures, Leon, and you look up where those scriptures in Genesis, like where was that? What are they? Is it a four scripture? You know, and then you start adding up things and then you start to see that God is really speaking through numbers.
Right.
He speaks through everything. He speaks through nature. He speaks through all of it.
All the time. I love that.
I know it is. That's funny because before we started this fast, Amy, she, how the Lord speaks to her a lot is she wakes up and she'll have like a song on her heart. And she knows that whatever song that she woke up, that's kind of how the Lord is speaking to her. And before the fast, she had a no doubt song in her mind that said, that's that no doubt song that says, don't speak. And she knew, okay, Lord, and that's a secular
exactly.
rock song. No doubt. But God used that in her to say, okay, Lord, I know I'm coming into a season where you need me to listen and I'm not going to give my opinions. I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to say those things that I'm going to go into a season of just knowing that it's time to listen. And it rolled right into what are we doing right now? We're waiting on the Lord.
Yes.
We're waiting on the Lord for him to speak. We're waiting for his direction. And we don't want to make a mess of it by saying, oh yeah, but, or what about, or yeah, but you don't, and God's saying, I don't care about that. Shut your mouth and let me speak. Isn't that awesome?
And she shared it with us.
Did she really?
And we were able to take that same revelation and think, okay, we need to walk this out too, because we see in part and we know in part, but
yes.
we can all put together our parts.
That's right.
Be aware, okay,
yes.
just
because you need to know when not to.
Yes.
You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration where Peter, James, and John were up there with Jesus and he started glowing? What's the first thing Peter did? He started giving his opinion. Oh my gosh, we need to put three altars up here, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. And then God just interrupted and said, this is my son, listen to him. Basically saying, shut your mouth, Peter. This is not time for you to talk because you're messing it up. You're trying to give altars to the law. That's who Moses and Elijah, what they were representing, the law and the prophets. And God is saying, no, they had their time to speak. Now they're stopped. Their speaking is over because my son is here now. Oh my gosh. Now you listen to him. The law and the prophets had their time. Now I'm changing it. I'm shifting it. And he's speaking. Now, Peter, shut your mouth or you're going to miss it. And he tried to honor them in a way. What he tried to put them on the same level. He tried to build an altar of Moses with Jesus. And he was saying, you're just missing it. Shut your mouth. Listen to me. And I'll lead you through this. And that's a word for all of us, really.
It kind of says they didn't really get it
yet. No, nor did they get it even until after. They didn't get it all the way past the point. That's right. That's exactly right.
If I'm looking up scripture that has the door and I intend to do that.
Yes.
Which translation do I use?
All of them. And that's your homework. That's what we do. When we go, yes, but it's easy to do on your phone because technology does make it easier for you to do that.
No,
it's not easier.
You don't understand me.
you got to go get 52 Bibles, huh?
I've got probably 14 or 15 Bibles. But no, the reason I say that is because the message, it may have, instead of door, it may have passage or it may have
correct.
Entry or...
But the best way to do it instead of versions is get the Strong's Concordance and just go back to the original Greek or Hebrew.
I've got that.
And that's the easiest way. That's the easiest way. I just have it as an app on my phone and you just type in the scripture. It takes it all the way to the scripture. And then after each in the New Testament, after each word, it'll say G1824 or whatever, you know, and then you just hit that and it opens that word up to know, like that word in John 17:3, that this is eternal life, that you may know him. And when you look up that word know, it opens it up to what is that word saying, and it'll take it back to the original Greek and what context they were using and how it was used. And it really just, so that's really the easiest thing. But you'll even listen to some of Bill Johnson's. I love Bill Johnson. And you listen to him and he'll say, okay, I looked up this word and I ran it through 53 different versions. Like, that's how deep he wants to know. I want to know what this scripture means. And I'm going to take 53 different versions and I'm going to run it through to see what God is really saying. And that's just smart to do. That's us rightly dividing scripture. That's what it says in Peter, that we're to do that. And that's kind of what we need to learn to do, okay? Okay, so if we look at 4 and we put 80 and 4 together, the mouth and the door, it says basically what you speak will open those doors. Your words are going to now open those doors that I need you to go through. I'm going to connect with you. You and I are going to co-labor to do this. Now God is the one that opens the doors, right? The door I open, no man can shut, and the door I shut, no man can open. We understand that. But we also understand that he partners with us in this.
Yes.
And he gives us the authority to do this. So we have the authority in our words to frame up our future, good or bad.
That's right.
You understand that, right? Good or bad.
That I understand.
Okay. So when we speak blessing and we speak life and we speak positive and we speak these good things, we are now framing up our future. We are now opening doors that allows us to go into our future, positive or negative.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We get that? Okay.
Yes.
So that's what 80 and 4 together are. What you speak will open doors. Or another word, it says, say, we're speaking from heaven to earth. We are bringing heaven to earth. And that's a scripture we've been on for a while now, right? On earth as it is in heaven, because that's really the goal that we're going for. So this is the year that God's going to show up in our words, if we're using them correctly, to open those doors correctly so we can step into the future of what he has for us this year. And he's going to open those doors through us, through our words. So it's very important that you pay attention to what you say this year. Because your words, what does the Bible say about your tongue? Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
For a whole year, Angie taught us about the tongue.
Come on, Jesus. So you already know going into this year what it is, right?
Yes. That was our thing for a whole year.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Always. Uh-huh. But I was thinking when you said, okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So it's
that's right.
The foundation. Then you said you're going to frame up the door, the open door. So if you think, if you don't have your foundation sturdy and solid, whatever is built on that frame, I see Brian do stuff all the time when he builds stuff. If you don't have the frame in place, you're not going to get the door open.
Yes.
So you think about, you have to have all these things. He's so orderly.
That's so awesome.
Nothing is
no.
Hazard, you know. Yeah, this is, you do this. Now, if you've messed up, go back.
Yeah.
Go ensure
and start over.
Foundation.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, God,
yep.
I'm sorry. I haven't been fearing you. I realize this door can't get open this year if we don't
that's right.
You know, do these things. But it just shows the intricacy of everything in the
yes.
Word of God, that he has it all planned and it's to a purpose.
Well, he is a carpenter.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, he
<That's>
is. And he is. And what she's saying is, that you go to the fear of the Lord, what we just came out of 2023, and what have we been doing here? We're laying a foundation. We have meticulously gone slow before the Lord to build a foundation that is correctly built, that there's no cracks, that we don't have anything going on. We can't allow something to come in and affect the foundation, because if you have a foundation problem, Annie just gave a beautiful example of her sister just this past Wednesday. About a beautiful house, this, you know, the extravagant decorating and all that,
yes.
That just came to nothing. Why? Because the foundation was cracked.
Right.
And if your foundation is cracked, scrap it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how beautiful it is. Doesn't matter the money you spent. Your foundation is jacked up. And she, what she's saying is that we're coming out of the year because the Bible says the beginning of knowledge is what? It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. That's where you start. We start with the fear of the Lord. Because when you start with the fear of the Lord, you see him rightly and you see yourself rightly. You don't get twisted who this God is. You see him for who he truly is, and it keeps you humbled. It keeps you in awe of him. It keeps you in reverence of him. And it keeps you loving what he loves and hating what he hates. So that's the foundation. Then you put the door on it, the frame, and what good is the frame if the foundation is jacked up, right? But if your foundation is right, then your door is correct, right? Then you can walk through those doors correctly because everything is built upon it's correct. Yes. And that's how we build, precept upon precept. And that's how line upon line. And that's how we build our...
Usually your foundation is the longest working thing you have in that whole home.
100%.
100%. It has to really dry good. You have to have a good foundation under it.
Yes. Yeah. You know...
it's a lot of work.
In my ministry school, Brian did a teaching on the potter, the clay and the potter. And I never saw it done the way he did it before. And you don't really understand what goes into making sure that clay pot doesn't have any bubbles, doesn't have any cracks, doesn't have anything that when you send it through the fire, because once you send it through the fire, it's done. Yeah. And he said, there's so many stages that you go through and time goes by. And you have to let it dry and you have to let it do this. And that's what really God, what I think Leon is speaking to, that a lot of times we come before the Lord and there's a calling on our life and we understand that. But sometimes our passion and our zeal can get way out ahead of are we ready or not. And we think ready is passion. I'm ready. Lord, I love you and I'm ready. He's like, yeah, I understand that. But you're not even ready for step one. I got to mold you and it's going to hurt and it's going to take some time. And then I'm going to have to let you stay out in the wilderness and dry out by yourself. And I'm going to let you teach you some things. And you're going to go through some testings. Then I'm going to have to come back and look again and go through you. And it's just, and it's painful sometimes and it hurts. And then here we are 10, 15, 20 years later, to where God says, okay, I think you might be ready for step one. You're like, what, 20 years later.
Let him be a pastor for a month.
Yeah. Boy, you get some things worked out. What's it?
I just understood something that is really great.
Come on.
When we open the door, it's the same thing as when we speak about being sick all the time.
Yes. That's right.
That's right.
That's exactly, you're framing up, because you're going to get whatever it is you say. That's right. Whatever you say, you're going to get it. Right? And speaking of open doors, the first scripture, I'm just going to jump ahead on some of this because we're... The first scripture that is an open door scripture is Genesis 4:4. And this is the first... Hold on, let me look real quick because I got so much in here. The last one, though, that she's talking about that got me thinking about, the last scripture that speaks a door is Revelation 4.
I love that. That's what I was thinking.
Revelation 4. And Revelation 4 starts out by saying, I looked and I saw, stood before me, an open door standing in heaven. And the voice that was shouting to me like a trumpet said to me, come up here and I will show you things. That's what he's saying this year. There is an open door into this year that is saying, come in through the door, come up higher, get your vision up, look up to where I'm at, get a perspective, right? Because four was speaking things from heaven to earth, because that's the perspective we all are. We are seated with him in heavenly places, and no longer are we going to be beggars calling, can you come down and just fix my situation? No, we're going to start speaking from heaven to earth because why? He's invited us in through that door to come up higher. Quit walking with your eyes on the ground and looking at your situation. Stop walking according to what your situation looks like and start walking according to the trust and faith in me. Because when we walk according to our situation, your walk with God and how you are with God is only going to be as good as your situation is going at the time.
Sometimes it's no good.
And when it's not good, then we're like, no, God's nowhere to be found. He's like, I'm still right here with you. You're the one that took your eyes off me.
Exactly.
Started looking at your situation. I still have a plan for you. I'm bringing you out of this if you keep looking at me. Mm-hmm. There is an out.
Amen.
But are you going to have to walk through it? Of course you are. But more times, we let situations throw us sideways, and we let the whole situation, then we get in stress and fear and anxiety, and we're not, and his trust is nowhere around. And we're asking.
We walk around that mountain so many times.
And that's right. And we're wondering where God is.
We can't see the door.
That's exactly right.
We're walking past it.
And that's what Lydia is talking about. That when you get sideways, you start speaking to your situation for what you see. And the more you start speaking to the situation, kind of how you see it at that time, at that present time, it keeps you in that situation going around until you say, stop. I'm done. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm looking to you to get me out of this. And he says, finally, look at me. Let's start moving towards the victory. Let's start getting you out. And then all of a sudden you come out of this. And the more we do this with the Lord, the more history that we get with the Lord, the more that keeps us from doing that so much, because we can look back and say, when we come to that situation again, we say, no, I've seen this before. I know, I remember this last year. Boy, it wrecked me. And I can see it for what it is. I'm not going down that road anymore, because when he showed up last year in this situation, he'll show up again. So now we can come into that situation doing what we should have did last time. Lord, I see the situation for what it is. This problem just came to my doorstep, and I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to worship you, and I don't care how bad it gets. I'm not taking my eyes off of you.
You're so right, because I had COVID in 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had COVID twice again, but only for days.
It just, oh, come on.
You know, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't stay, because I know that you are hurting, and I'm already healed.
So amen. That's how you learn to walk with God. It's not about how it's about, are you moving forward? Are you learning? Are you learning to do this? Because as far as God's concerned, if she's going through it or not, the fact that her mind is right, her belief system is right, she sees him rightly, and she's speaking it.
She said it. I'm telling you, every time you talk to her, she could be falling apart or on the floor.
Yes.
And she would say, I'm healed.
Olga's the same way. I tell Olga, you are a walking billboard for testimonies. And so is Lydia. Every time they open their mouth, they're talking to what God did them in their life. Why? Because they've had history with him. They've stood the test before, and they can say, it doesn't matter what comes, because he showed up all these times. Does it really make sense that he's saved me 100 times, but he's not going to show up this time? That's ludicrous. That's impossible. He's not going to do it. He's going to show up. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There was a young man that I met on Wednesday. Is his name Brandon? What's his name, Brandon, the guy that we prayed for? Came with the backpack?
Yes.
Brandon. And he said he loves the Lord. You could look at him, and I know he was so put together. He looked like everything, man, he looked good. He looked like everything was going well for him. But then he starts to speak, and you can immediately hear the fear that's coming out of his mouth because of what the devil is putting him through, which are panic attacks and all these panic attacks. And I had those when I was young, so believe me, I understand. They grip you, and you think you're dying. So I understand the fear involved with it, and I could hear it coming out. I could hear the fear, the anxiety that was tied. And what you're tying, what I knew he was tying that to was a lie. That is a lie, what he was speaking. He was aligning with a lie. Why is that a lie? Because he belongs to the Lord.
He was walking with him close like this.
I think he's not. He still loves him, but he's not.
No, he's not in fellowship.
That's correct.
You don't see him here.
That's correct.
That's the first time we saw
and he
him.
Admitted that. He did admit that. He said, look, just life started taking over, and I admit, got all these other things, and I started getting away from the Lord. And what happens? The enemy sees it from a mile away and says, now's the time. You go attack. And that's what I told him. I said, look, God's going to use this for good. The fact that you're standing here right now tells me that God is in control, and he's turning this situation around. But I wanted to make sure that he understood. I said, listen, Brandon, we're going to pray for you, and God's going to he's going to take this away. I know he will. He will. But when you, a couple days down the road, and you start to feel that thing come on, you immediately have to say, that's a lie.
Yes.
This symptom that I'm feeling, the how I feel and the fear that's coming with it, you have to speak and say, that's a lie. I've been healed. My testimony is peace. I walk in joy. I am completely in trust and faith in you. And the more you start to do that, and then all of a sudden the devil says, whoa, where's this coming from? He didn't used to do this.
And if you can't do nothing else, mm-hmm. you can sing the old song, Jesus Loves Me.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
As long as it's the word of God. Yes. Yes. So I just want to warn him, and I want to warn you, and I'm speaking to myself too, because when this thing comes to your doorstep fast and hard like that, sometimes it throws us. And we need to realize, okay, this is an attack. And how do we fight these attacks? Because it's a spiritual thing. We fight them with the word of God. We fight them exactly right. How we fight it. Go ahead, Katie.
I was thinking when you were talking about the door. I never thought about it. Jesus is the door.
Yes.
And he's
that's right.
Within us. So when we speak what he says, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we're speaking his word, we're speaking our future by his word.
That's exactly right.
It's like we're, so, but the enemy has gates. So when we speak his word, what he says, we're prophesying the other future.
That's right. That's exactly right. He is the door. He is a door. He says that two times in the New Testament, and they're both in the book of John. That says, I am the order. What's up, Jay? How are you? How are y'all doing? Good to see y'all. Good to see y'all. Okay, I'm going to fast forward because I want to show you something. Man, I have a lot of notes. We didn't really get to a lot of them, but I do want to get to this one here. And we look at the number four, and the number four is the door in the Hebrew, right? That's the gematria of it, that's the picture of it, right? The picture is a door. But the number four means created things. You know how like five is faith, eight is new beginnings, 12 is governmental authority. Well, the number, what is it?
Earthly.
Created things. Sandy got it. She got it. All things created. Earthly things created. So, and it's funny is, in all the world, that's that verse right there, in all the world, like all the created things, is used in the scriptures four times. It's said exactly four times. And so, this is what we're talking about. There's four directions, north, south, east, west. There's four seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. There's four lunar cycles. There's four times in a day, morning, noon, evening, night. There's four divisions of man, and this is in Genesis 10. There's a land, tongue, family, and nation. That he even puts man in four different divisions. The term heaven and earth is found four times in the Bible, which covers all created things. Okay? And so speaking of that, I want to look at something really cool here before we let go, because I just want you to see this. This is so cool. Okay, so do you guys remember 7 years ago when they had that great American eclipse? Wherever it was, remember people flocked to it, hundreds of thousands of people, or wherever it was, but they all went in on this place and put all their glasses on and watched this eclipse. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, that was 7 years ago. Okay. There's another one coming this next year, and it's on April 8th. April 8th, okay? So there's another one coming in April 8th. Okay. When we enter into these seven-year cycles, right, there's a lot of times that there's these seven-year cycles. Remember the dream that Joseph got and said, you're going to get them in seven-year cycles. The first one is going to be plenty, and you're going to have fat cows. And then I saw seven skinny cows, and he's saying you're going to be in times of plenty, and harvest is going to be good. But save it up, because you're going to go into 7 years of drought, and you're going to need to learn how to do that. So that was in a seven-year cycle. Now, check this out. That was 7 years ago, that first one. The next one is going to come on April 8th of 2024. I put here, we enter into another seven-year cycle. And the church was marked by that great American eclipse 7 years ago. But there's another one coming, okay? It's coming on April 8th, which is 4-8, right? One sign, and now there's another sign 7 years later. Look what Exodus 4-8 says, April 8th. If they don't believe you or listen to the voice in the first sign, they will believe the message of the second sign. And that's Exodus 4-8. And this is what I mean when you start getting dates and times and numbers and you start running them through the filter of the word, the scripture, he's speaking to us. And I would be very, very closely watching April 8th of this next year during this cycle. Because that's how he speaks to us, right? Why did God put the sun and the moon and the stars there? To speak to us so that we would understand times, seasons, and Moedim, certain appointed times that we're to look to the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's why he put them there in the sky.
Wow.
So we have to be knowledgeable about this stuff. And we didn't even...
The ones that know the times
Issachar, the tribe of Issachar. Yes, the tribe of Issachar. And I want to say there was only like 400 in the tribe of Issachar, and that was the tribe of the 12 tribes of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. And the other tribes had tens of thousands of people in the tribe, but the tribe of Issachar, it was either 200 or 400. And they were set apart where all they did is seek the Lord to tell Israel, this is the season we're stepping into. We need to do this. We're about to go into drought. We need to save food. We're about to go into this. This is what we need to do. We're going into a time where we need to really understand what the fear of the Lord. And Issachar would tell Israel what the future holds so they would know how to. Exactly what we're doing right now in this fast. That's an Issachar type of understanding that we're fasting before the Lord in September to say, what is this new year bringing us? What do you want from us, and where do we need to be, and how do our hearts need to be prepared, and how do we process and things like that? So that, man, there's so much here. Maybe I'll print this out and give it to you guys.
Or you could just pick up on it.
Yeah, or if you could just pick up on it.
How the Amplified says this is, if they will not believe or heed the voice, the testimony of the sign. That's wild that it's saying
yes.
The signs are talking. Because we think
that's exactly
humans
right.
Are talking. But these,
that's exactly
these setting
right.
Up things, like you said, Janet, mm-hmm. Just all kinds of things, mm-hmm. Whether it be in natural ways or how he set up the mm-hmm. world, but that they're speaking.
That's right.
They're speaking to us.
It's exactly right.
Listen to the voice of the signs.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Crazy.
That's exactly right. Somebody sent me something on my phone. Somebody said, oh, my mom sent me this thing. And this is what, and that's what I told her. My mom sent me this. This was the verse of the day. This is Lamentations 3:25-26. And she sent me this just today. She said, the Lord is good, and unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him, it is good that man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And I wrote her back. I said, he is really speaking loudly, but do we have ears to hear it? That's the main thing. You know, that is the most spoken thing in the New Testament that was spoken according to Jesus and how he was wanted was this. If you have ears to hear. It was the most repeated phrase in the New Testament. For those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Do you have ears to hear what he's saying right now? Do we know enough that we have ears to hear this new year that we're coming in? Do we have ears to hear? Do we understand what the Spirit is saying? Can we run thing and have an understanding of his language that it's up to us to understand the language in which he speaks. It's up to us to understand the calendar in which he follows. That's us. We are Jewish, right? We're being grafted in. This is our heritage. Yes, we are all Gentiles. I get that. But we have been grafted into him. And we need to start seeing things how he sees things.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Amen? Yes. So we really need to kind of know this. And maybe I will pick it up because there's so much here. There's really a lot of cool things
that
we...
That's what makes us not hear. How's that? If this is so important that we hear the direction that he's taking us in, are we hungry enough to... let go of what prevents us from, or do we just
that's exactly right.
Like we are?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Angie was saying, because it's up to us. It's our choice.